So back to the Genjo Koan. Koan. Kunlan. Sameness. Difference. Difference. Sameness. Making progress here on the Genjo Koan. When one attains enlightenment, it is like the moon reflected in the water. The moon never becomes wet. The water is never destroyed. Although it is a vast and great light, it reflects itself on a small amount of water. The whole moon and even the whole sky reflect on even a drop of dew in a blade of grass or a single tiny drop of water. Enlightenment does not destroy the person as the moon does not make a hole in the water. The person does not obstruct enlightenment as a drop of dew does not obstruct the moon in the sky. Although it is a vast and great light, it reflects itself on a small amount of water. The whole moon and even the whole sky reflect on even a drop of dew in a blade of grass or a single tiny drop of water. So your practice doesn't have to be that good. Just on this moment. Just on this moment, be who you are. Sincerely express in your visage, in your movement, in your life, who you are. Just a tiny drop of water. Don't worry about the last moments. Here is your opportunity on this moment. Always coming up. Just a tiny drop of water. Just tiny. But if you do it, if you taste it, everything, just that tiny drop, everything you ever imagined or conceived, right here. Sameness, difference, sameness. So, how many of us are here? We're getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Maybe we will get so small we will finally discover the middle way. Is it possible that we can get that small that we can discover it? Because it's huge. It's huge. But you have to get this small. You know what I mean? A little bit, you know what I mean? Smaller and smaller we are getting. Oh, and I was with my first teacher. Our group was smaller than this. In my hometown, where I grew up. Yay, my teacher is coming, everybody. Come see my teacher. Three people came. In the living room, in the corner of the living room. Week after week after week, three people came. Two people, four people sometimes. It was huge. I could feel it because I looked at him. If I didn't look at him, I couldn't feel it. But if I looked at him, I could feel how huge everything is. How immense and open. How open things are already. Already they are open. Then I put an article in my hometown newspaper about the great Zen master Suzuki Roshi. They didn't know what Roshi meant or Horosuzuki was, but I said that in my little article. I talked to Palo Alto Times person. This was my small town. It's not a small town anymore, but when I was a boy, it was. You know how things were back then? And so then, 8 people showed up from reading the article in the newspaper. 8 people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 2, 3. Oh, one more. I can't count very well. Oh, 8. Hey, 8. 8 people. And Suzuki said to me, Where did you find all those people, Tim? I said, I don't know. They just came. They wanted to hear the Dharma. He said, really? He said, but my English wasn't any good. I said, I know. Doesn't matter. You show it. The more you steep yourself in this Dharma, you show it. Talking or not talking, you show it. I see it. I feel it. It comes. It goes. It doesn't know. It just is. Arising and subsiding. Subsiding and arising. It doesn't know. It's having too good a time to know. Right in the middle of agony. Too good a time to know. In the bed with my illness, having too good a time to know. Can you believe it? Do you think I'm making it up? Do you think the Naga is an imagination? Your Naga nature. That's what this is about. Your Naga nature. Serpent. Alive. Alive. Dead. Alive. Sameness difference. Dead alive. If you manifest this Dharma, this Naga nature, this stillness and movement nature, in just one little way, in just one little drop, it affects a lot of people. It affects your environment. It affects the world. And sometimes you only have one little drop. You only have one little drop. But if you do it, it affects. Why is it that my daughter and I are still talking 12 years later about the guy with the yellow shirt on the Zambezi? That was about 8 minutes. 8 minutes in our lives when he ministered to us. And then he disappeared into the throng of Americans with all their parrot shirts. Disappeared. One little drop. One little extending beyond ego barrier to relationship. Relationship. And you have an impact. Enlightenment does not destroy the person as the moon does not make a hole in the water. So when we were young, we were always acting like ego was bad. I don't know where we got that. When we were young practitioners. I once was a young practitioner. I once was. We all thought. I mean, ego for us was like sort of the devil, I guess. Well, you know, ego was just not okay. Oh, that's ego, Tim. Oh, that's ego. Da 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 da. But then we got a little more. We got a little more balance, because ego is not bad. We need ego. We need ego. Without ego, there wouldn't be a sense of determination even to be here, even to practice. And besides, ego is very interesting. It's very interesting. My grandson is just beginning to develop ego. Oh, that's cute. So far, so good, you know. That's cute. I can see already his way of manifesting nagas is through planes, airplanes, and cars. Because from the time he was like 16 months, cars, planes, airplanes, and still, I'm going to see as he goes year after year how this part of his personality, his part of his ego, how that develops. And I bet we will see that strand for a long, long time in some form or other. Very interesting. And then what else? Well, I can see already stubbornness. Stubbornness. That he gets from someone, I won't say who. And on the other side, determination. You know, when he sees a car, he's gonna go for that car. It doesn't matter what kid has that car, or where that car is. A plane, you know. He's definitely not a little girl. Although girls could do this too, but it's just so interesting to see this at 16. We saw it at 16 months. And there's been a lot of research done recently on gender specificity coming out really, really early, like in the first year or two. We could just see it with this kid. So ego. Ego is cool, you guys. Don't knock ego. You need ego. Ego is interesting. Ego gives you a certain orientation toward the world, certain qualities, certain things that are not so nice, but still. Every side has another side. Every stubbornness has a determination. Every passivity has an acceptance. That's important. And that's why Dogen himself says, enlightenment does not destroy the person as the moon does not make a hole in the water. So when I was, I spent time with Aiken Roshi in the early 80s, and I was talking about some unknown other students here at Zen Center. I said, they have very strong egos. And he said, but that's good, Tim. He said, if they have strong egos, then they really have something to work with. They really have some material, and they are willing to work with it. So I said, oh, okay. Well, he was a teacher. You know, sometimes when a teacher says something, you think, oh, shit, that I don't believe that. But you're nice anyway, you know, because you respect the teacher. You know what I mean? So. Enlightenment does not destroy the person as the moon does not make a hole in the water. The person does not obstruct enlightenment as a drop of dew does not obstruct the moon in the sky. So we can't, no matter how much we kind of goof off or sit here in Sesshin thinking about where we wish we were or where we had been, we can't destroy enlightenment. Because it's already here. Things are already full of light. They are full of the Dharma already. Always, always. So, if your practice has been no good up until now, it doesn't make any difference if you just make your sincere effort right now to be. Not to be someone or to be something or to be better or worse. Just to be. That's enlightenment. That's enlightenment. It's light. It's light. And it doesn't know the difference between dark and light. It's so light. It's just rising and falling. Rising and falling. The person does not obstruct enlightenment as a drop of dew that does not obstruct the moon in the sky. One of my favorite Chinese poems. The mountain slopes crawl with lumberjacks, axing everything in sight, yet crimson flowers burn along the street. A lot of axing going on. I'm sorry. I feel sad about it. A lot of axing going on. In so-called religion, in the name of Buddha, in the name of God, in the name of Orioki, in the name of Sangha, a lot of axing going on. We human beings are doing this. We're doing this as human beings, axing everything in sight. But crimson flowers, tiny crimson flowers are growing along the stream. The axes don't see those crimson flowers. The axes don't know about them because they're so tiny and they're so bright. They are so tiny and they are so bright. So, as you guys know, especially those of you who've been with me for a while, my first teacher was 4'11" and spoke very little English when he came over to the beatnik capital of the world. And when he burned incense, he was trying to get some other odors to compete with the marijuana odor and the patchouli odor and the body odor in the city that he arrived at. But he appreciated all the odors. He did. He appreciated them. He was a little bit appalled, I think, at the body odor. The marijuana odor he kind of liked. He never toked up, but he kind of liked it, I could tell. I mean, who doesn't? Well, we'll get into that. But the body odor at an ego level appalled him, because the Japanese are nothing if not clean. Nothing if not clean. Tiny bright of light, and the whole universe is affected. But we don't know how. The guy at Zambezi didn't know he'd have any influence on me 12 years later, and my daughter visit 25 years later. Suzuki Roshi didn't know. He just brought himself. He just manifested his little light, his little tiny crimson flower where he was. He didn't know. He just let the flower manifest itself, let the shoots come up. And I was in Paris in the subway. When was that? Last time I was in Paris. April? I don't know. December? I don't know. I was in Paris. April. And I was there with my grandson. And there was a guy sitting. And at the back of the book was Suzuki Roshi's picture. It was a French book. It was Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And you know how Suzuki Roshi's picture is on the back. So I was sitting with my grandson, Ethan, in the subway. And I said, Ethan, look! And Ethan looked and he said, Papa? Ethan doesn't know very many words. I said, no, not Papa. He said, oh, Grandpa. I said, yes, Grandpa. But then Suzuki Roshi died. He died almost immediately. Almost immediately. So we don't know. But if we really die, we really come to life. We really come to life if we completely die. Completely do. It just happens. I'm not talking about reincarnation, you guys. Forget all that shit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about living. Living. Which means completely dying to both the known and the unknown. Completely dying. Right, Marty? To both the known and the unknown. So you can live as a Naga. As Nagarjuna himself. Herself. In all her glory. But she doesn't think it's glory. She's just having a good time. The person does not obstruct enlightenment as a drop of dew does not obstruct the moon in the sky. You should investigate the water's vastness or smallness and the brightness or dimness of the moon. You should investigate the water's vastness or smallness and the brightness or dimness of the moon. So, it's good to put in a little biographical comment in here because it just makes sense a little bit of what Dogen's saying. So, Dogen himself grew up and his first teachers as an adult were Tendai Buddhists, Tendai Buddhism. Tendai in Chinese, Tendai in Japanese. And Tendai Buddhist is based on Hua Yin. It's syncretic Buddhism, but it's based on sameness and difference, difference and sameness. But they don't sit. They don't sit, but they're really good at talking about sameness and difference and difference and sameness because they study all the Hua Yin texts and learn that the rafter is the building, and yet the rafter is only the rafter, right? They learn all this stuff, so they're good. They're good at repartee. Good repartee guys. So he was exposed to his repartee from an early age, and he had Tendai teachers. But it wasn't satisfying his angst. It wasn't satisfying his sense of deep loss, the things he missed, the people, especially his parents who died. his sense of not knowing what his place was in the world. So he became very good at the Tendai stuff, but it didn't help him. He became very good at pointing out, oh, the nose is just the nose, but it is entirely the face, as the Tendai teachers would say, because without the nose, there would be no face, as it is. So the nose is the face, and yet it's only the nose. Great Tendai stuff. So Dogen got good at that, but in his heart, in his no soul, he was still not okay. So then the Zen teacher said, well, sit. And then you will wake up to this. So then that was his question. The sitting, I'm supposed to, Buddha nature is already here. The nose is the face. And yet sitting is going to help me resolve this question that I have about why it doesn't really penetrate. And the teacher said, yes, right? So first he studied koan Zen. I've probably gone through this with you before, but it doesn't matter. It's a good history lesson up to a point. Don't take it too seriously, please. So first he studied with Eisai. Eisai was a guy who brought Rinzai Zen to Japan. And with all the koans, right? And Dogen being quick and being pretty focused in his sitting, he could move through those first two pillars pretty well and get right to the crux of the matter. He solved one koan after another. So Eisai died, and then Myo Zen, Eisai's chief disciple, became Dogen's teacher. And then Myo Zen gave Dogen Dharma transmission to be a full teacher at what, something like 23 or 22? I'd have to look it up. So, but Dogen has been practicing since he was, 12, so don't get any ideas. And really practicing. But Dogen's still not satisfied. I pass all these koans, but this stuff doesn't satisfy me. I'm still hungry. I'm still wondering if Buddhism is something more than just pictures. Of course, later he talks about pictures being in reality, but at that point he doesn't get it. That point he doesn't get it at all. That's a later development. Have to start where you are, start where you are. So then Myo Zen becomes his teacher, who's still in the Rinzai tradition, and then they set off to go to China. So when he's something like 23. So he has this hunger to have this penetrate his psyche and not just be religious. I mean, I'm using that. I don't know why I keep using that word, but I am using it. Can't think of any other better words. And so he decides he's gonna go to China with Myo Zen. Myo Zen is 13 or 17 years older than him. 17 years older than him. And Myo Zen has made Dogen his Dharma heir, but they go together and Myo Zen leaves his own teacher behind, his own first teacher, who is dying. And his own first teacher says, don't leave me, I'm dying, and I want you to be here for me and do the funeral. And Myo Zen says, well, I have to go. This is my inmost quest to go, even though I'm your Dharma heir. Myo Zen, too, is not satisfied. And he said, even if I die over there, I have to go. So he leaves his teacher. And he and Dogen set off to China. And the boats only go to China once every 5 or 10 years. So he thinks, if I don't go now, I might have to wait 10 years. So this is all this drama. We always have a lot of drama in our lives. They seem to have a little more. But actually, if you really talk to me quite intimately about your life, you self-disclose everything, we'll find just as much drama. You may choose not to. That's fine. But if you choose to, we can find a lot of drama. right? A lot of drama. Woohoo! That's ego. That's ego. Makes life interesting, doesn't it? Up to a point. And when it doesn't make life interesting anymore, then we begin to practice. Then we begin to really practice. We want to realize the fundamental point. That's another translation of koan. It's fundamental point. We're willing to go into it. We're willing to go completely into it to realize it, even though we don't know. Maybe I can't do it. Maybe you can't do it in this lifetime. But if you go into it, it's here. It's here. If you penetrate one thing, one dewdrop, you penetrate all things. I guarantee that. I guarantee that. That's my guarantee. I can't guarantee much, but I can guarantee that. So it's not that hard. Just one thing. Just one moment. Just one color. Just one sound. Just one sip of this elixir. The elixir of life. The elixir of death. The naga. Naga water. Who brewed this wonderful naga water for me? Was it my attendant?
I made the water.
You should investigate the water's vastness or smallness, and the brightness or dimness of the moon. Okay, you should investigate the water's vastness or smallness and the brightness or dimness of the moon. When the Dharma has not yet fully penetrated into the body and mind, one thinks one is already filled with the Dharma. Thinks one is already filled with the Dharma. So anytime you think you've got it, you don't have it. You don't have it. You don't. Whatever it is, if you think you've got it, you don't have it. In a way, you're dead when you think you've got it. You're dead. You're not the live Naga anymore. You've mounted the Naga on the wall as part of your Naga collection. You've just added the Naga to your collection. What's that word for that? People who stuff animals, you know, what do they call it? Yeah, you just added the Naga to your taxidermy collection. Don't do that to the Naga. But you know, the Naga doesn't mind. You can do it all you want to the Naga. The Naga doesn't mind. But I care about you. I don't want you to do that. Because you can't live with sensitivity and love if you do that very much. Because you'll spend all your time taking care of the taxidermy collection. The butterfly collection. Instead of enjoying the butterflies, which are always flying, swallowtails, painted ladies, cabbage butterflies in and out of your life? Let them fly. Even the cabbage butterflies. Let them fly. Just a plain white butterfly. It's got everything. Don't collect it, please. You human beings are weird. We Nagas think you guys are weird. And that includes this guy. He is weird. He is really weird, this guy. When the Dharma has not yet fully penetrated into the body and mind, one thinks one is already filled with the Dharma. When the Dharma fills the body and mind, one thinks that something is still lacking. I know that's not what you want. You want to have a nice, tidy enlightenment. None of us guys in this tradition have found that yet. You got to go to some other tradition. It ain't our tradition. Our tradition is the Naga tradition. It's a butterfly flying tradition. The butterfly never ends flying. It's never complete. It's always going up and down and looking for another flower, looking for another way to pollinate, another way to express itself. It doesn't know. There's always something lacking. And that's why it can fly free. Because it's never complete. Complete means mounted on the wall. The minute that something is complete, we mount it on the wall. I did that one. Oh, I did that one. I did 3 days of the Shashin. Wow! Oh, you did 3 days? Wow. Good. I did 6 days. 3, 6. Oh, I did my 12-day minimum this year. Whew. Jim says 12 days for certain people. Certain bad people. Good people only have to do 2 days. Bad people have to do at least 12 days. If you want to study with me, be bad. Lacking is your freedom. With your lacking is your freedom. But you don't think that way, most of you. You want to get out of your lacking. I know. A lot of people, most people want to get out of their lacking instead of see it as an opportunity to just fly, just be, just swim. Okay, well, I guess I'll talk a little bit more about this lacking. Why not? We've got all the time we need, don't we? So when Aldous Huxley had his first acid experience, it was Aldous Huxley. I think it was Aldous Huxley. You guys know who Aldous Huxley is? I'm old, so I know who Aldous Huxley is. When Aldous Huxley had his first acid experience, his friend said to him during the experience, after he had been... and Aldous Huxley was like... This was sort of the pre-Timothy Leary days. I'm old, remember? the pre-Timothy Leary days, Aldous Huxley only wanted to do this as a sacred rite, as a sacred rite. He had practiced the Vedanta very seriously, and he wanted to do it as a sacred rite. So he did it in a very spiritual context, a sacred rite. I don't know why I'm talking about this. I don't want to give you guys any ideas. I want you to do this practice. But anyway, here it comes. So, he took it as a sacred rite. And then, as I remember it, his wife came in the room, and said to him something like, and I think a couple of hours had passed, and he had just been sitting, looking at a wall. And his wife said to him, something like, and how is it with this time passing while you're sitting? And he said, how is it? How is it? He said, well, there seems to be plenty of it. So, regardless, acid or no acid, there is always plenty of time. If you go into this, if you penetrate this, you will realize there is always plenty of time. In your American lives, you don't know this very often, but through Zazen, through penetrating one thing, you will realize, you will feel, even when you're on the freeway at rush hour, that there is always plenty of time. You will. I guarantee. Zen Tetsu's guarantee. Not Tim's guarantee. Zen Tetsu's guarantee, right? Money back. I'll give you all your money back. And then you give it back to me again. Because, you know, up and down, right? Arising and subsiding. Relationship, right? I'll give you your money back if you're not satisfied. And you give it back to me and we'll try again. Pardon? So, I've been reading a little bit, I was reading a little bit in a magazine about Mother Teresa, and then I started reading her letters a little.